podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
All right. My goodness, how are you supposed to follow all of that? I do know we need to do one thing because Jody's not the only graduate in the room. So can we honor all the graduates of 2019, whether that's a diploma or a doctorate? Can you stand up if you're graduating high school, college? Come on. Hey, my goodness. Congratulations. You have made it. You are there. My goodness. Take a deep breath. Come on. Y'all can do better than that. Congratulations. We love y'all so much. Thank you for being here and letting us honor you this morning. My goodness. Yeah, I knew y'all came in with a little bit of energy this morning. You're like, Pastor Jenny, I ain't got no energy. I left it all in 2019's school year, right? So we just, it's still going. Look at all of those graduates. My goodness. That represents both this campus and Peachtree City campus. So congratulations one more time. We so honor you and all that you have done. Man, we're so excited. Is that scrolling through again? Okay, cool. I was like, wow, I need to meet these folks if there's that many of them. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for giving us the time today just to honor the achievements in the room and the journey of so many. And I do want to jump right into the word this morning. I know Pastor Gilbert has been in a series called The Way. He introduced The Way, and then he talked about The Way In. He talked about The Way Up. And this morning, we're going to talk about The Way Within. It's kind of like the in, but it's within, like inside of us. And so we're going to be talking about this morning, I almost said the gathering. We love you all. I know y'all are dismissing. This morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit within us. And so I do want to jump right in for the sake of time. I know we are a little bit behind, but it's okay. I think we need to take time to honor those this morning who have done amazing things. I'm so thankful to be in this house. I know I'm always emotional when I preach, but you can't be a part of a church like ours and not feel the love and not feel just the Spirit of God. Yeah, you can clap. And I'm just so honored to serve beside and underneath the incredible leadership that we have in this house. Pastor Gilbert and Mona are breathtaking. And spiritual parents, shepherds like none others, leaders among leaders, their hearts are unparalleled. So thank you for giving me the time. And I get to call them parents. So, you know, Jody got up here and said that he could be Zach's dad. Y'all, black don't crack. So I'm trying to get in a little bit. trying to work my way in there. Give me some cocoa butter and call it a day. Y'all think I'm playing. Jesus. All right. It's good to laugh. All right. So the way within, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Trinity this morning. We're going to talk about the indwelling. You know, being a charismatic, spirit-filled church, I think we focus on the Holy Spirit a lot. I grew up in a very charismatic church, and we definitely focused on the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. And so this morning, if that's not your background or you're kind of still learning the ways of the gifts of the Spirit, I know we've even mentioned speaking in tongues. We may hit on that a little bit this morning, but that's not the main focus, because I think what we do sometimes, not specifically New City Church, but just charismatic churches in general, we so focus on the giftings and the evidence and all that, and those things are powerful. That stuff is amazing. But if we don't teach on who the Holy Spirit is, it lessens, it demeans the power that comes with it. Because when you know who he is and why he's powerful, my gosh, that's a force to be reckoned with. And so this morning, I want to speak on the subject of who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm a little amped up. And so let me just go on and jump right in. So we're going to do a little math this morning. And I'm not good at it, so I'm reading my notes so I can stay on. But we're going to take it all the way back. I don't know if this is middle school or high school, but not considering time. Take time out of the equation. We live in a three-dimensional world. we got an amen already, right? You're like, you're preaching good doctrine already, right? So we live in a three-dimensional world. Take time out of the equation. That's height, width, depth, those things, right? So one person can maybe look like someone else, or perhaps they can behave like someone else. They may even be able to sound like someone else, right? But a person cannot actually be the same as another person. You can see this even in twins, right? They may look the same, but they are still different. They have distinct personalities. They are distinctly individuals, right? So we may be able to sound like people, we may look like people, but we are our own person. God, however, lives without the limitations of a three-dimensional universe. And he created that. So he can live beyond that, right? And he is spirit. And he is infinitely more complex than we are. So the three dimensions, that he's not bound to that, right? He lives far outside of that. And that is why Jesus, the Son of God, can be different from the Father, but yet the same. Should I teach, Daphne? Thank you. I'm going to teach just because you said it. I'm a holla back preacher. The more y'all holla back, the more you amen, the better it's going to get. All right? Y'all know that's how it works. When preachers don't hear any, we feel like you're not getting it. So we just repeat it. It's like how you do with your children. You're like, they're like, I heard you. Well, you didn't respond, so I assumed you didn't. All right? All right. They're like, amen. Please get us to lunch today. But the Bible clearly speaks of God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. So those are three different personalities, but yet it emphasizes that there is only one God. Oh, we're giving you some Blues Clues this morning. See, here it is. If we were to do math, it would not be 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. That's math as we know it. But when it comes to God, it would be more like 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. God is a triune God. He's three in one. Thus the term tri, meaning three, and unity, meaning one. Tri plus unity equals Trinity. It is a way of acknowledging what the Bible reveals to us about God, that God is yet three persons who have the same essence of deity. Now, we've tried with our own minds to have human illustrations and to break this down for our understanding, and it's not always perfect, but I do have a diagram here that I want to show you. I teach this in our Foundations of Christian Doctrine class that we teach the city interns. We have God, right? He is the supreme power. He's the supreme deity. He's right. He's the creator of the universe. He is eternal, all that right there in the middle. Then you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? However, the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. Oh, but let's flip it a little bit. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. It's this perfect relationship that they have with three different personalities, three different responsibilities and functions, and this is our God. This is who we serve. This is why he's so incredible. We are made after his image. We are made in three parts, right? What are those three parts? Spirit, soul, and body, right? All right, so spirit, soul, and body. And then we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another example or illustration that we could use is right here in this bottle. What do we have? It is water, I promise. All right, so we have water. And what form is this water? Liquid, right? If I were to put this water into the freezer next door, what would it become? Ice. It would become solid, right? If I were to take this water and pour it into, anyone have essential oils in the room that we diffuse, right? No essential oil people? Okay, I'm alone on that. Okay, thank you. I knew I smelled some good stuff in here this morning. If I were to take this water and put it into a diffuser or a Vicks vaporizer, what would it become? right? Gas, vapor, all of those things. But what are all three of those forms? What do they consist of? Water. It's the same thing with God. He is God, but there is Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's God the Father. What's so interesting to me is even in the beginning of Genesis, we see this. From the very beginning, we see the Trinity. Let's see, Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Huh. Notice we see a mixture of singular and plural pronouns here. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. And then it says, male and female, he created them. It's right there in the beginning of Genesis. And the Holy Spirit is very much a person, which means we have a relationship with him, God, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Because he is a person, that means we have a relationship. And the Bible says that when we place our faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, the finished work of the cross, he died for our sins and he resurrected, right? When we place our faith in Christ and we become believers and we become disciples of God, we begin to follow him, it says that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the kingdom of heaven within us. I'm going to give you four powerful points this morning of who the Holy Spirit is. This list could go on and on and on, but I want to give you four points this morning, and then you can do the research on your own after that. First thing that I want to talk about how powerful the Holy Spirit is he is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. When emotional or physical pain, when pain is present, the Holy Spirit provides joy, peace, and comfort. When mental pain is present, when relational pain is present, when physical pain is present, he provides joy, he provides peace, he provides comfort. Where there's grief, hurt, and anxiety, he wants to be right there in the mix. He has the antidote for you. He has the answer for you. He is the answer. In Psalms 94:19, it says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." We live in an anxiety-driven world. And I'm not making light of that this morning. Everybody's triggered. Everybody's depressed. So it seems. You're like, not me. Don't speak that over my life, Pastor Jenny. But when we look around, I mean, I've struggled with it. I know many of you in the room have. Stress can just wear heavy on you. The anxieties, the fears, the stress, the busyness, the worries, the fears, the loss, all those things that just come packaged in with a fallen world. But when pain is present, the Holy Spirit provides joy, peace, and comfort. He lives on the inside of us. And if we are made of body, soul, and spirit, and he lives on the inside, if we're the vessel, don't you realize that his peace, his promises, his comfort, his joy applies to all three areas as well? Body, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotions. Life will throw some curveballs at us, won't it? I know so many people in the room, and I've heard some of your stories, and I've walked beside so many, and even those that I'm completely unaware of, I think if you've lived more than a couple days, there's a potential for some type of discouragement, loss, hurt, and heartache. Some of us were born into that. But God, he provides the answers that we need. You know what I love, too, is I know we so often focus on the struggle because we live in life and all of us can relate to struggle. But what I love about the Holy Spirit, that promise in the Word that says it is His joy that is our strength. Do you know on your best day when you're going through a great season, all is well, He has even more for you? This isn't just when things are bad. This is when things are good, too. This is when you get to walk across the stage and get your diploma, right? Praise God. He's celebrating with you. So the first thing that I wanted to focus on this morning was He is our comforter. The second thing is He is our counselor. Woo! On your best day. Somebody say, on my best day. Think about whatever your best day was. Maybe you have a couple of those. On your best day, you still need wisdom and guidance. Every day. Come on, Pastor Mona. On your tough days, you need wisdom and guidance. You know, can I just pause and just throw out there? I think if we realized we needed wisdom and guidance just as much on our good days, we may have less worse days. If on our best days, we were still looking for Jesus to help us out, to listen to Him, to hear His voice, to read His word, perhaps we would have less bad days. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate counselor. He's the ultimate counselor because He's right there with you. He knows everything about you. He knows where you're going. He knows how those things make you feel. He knows how those things get you off course. He knows the distractions. He knows the hurt. He was there with you. And I am such an advocate for going to counseling. I love counseling. It was one of the best decisions that I've ever made. I don't know if you're a counselor in the room. I would highlight you, but then you might have a whole bunch of clients after service, and I'm not trying to do that to you. But if you're a counselor in the room, thank you. Can we just clap for whoever's in the room? Thank you. Life coaches, counselors. Y'all are like, thank you. Because, you know, we'd be like, oh, you go to my church. Free counseling. No. Make it. Make an appointment. I'm such an advocate for counseling, and I chose to go to a Christian counselor. I'm not against secular counselors by any means, but for me and my life, I decided when I was real jacked up and I was going to counseling, when I was in one of the darkest areas of my life, I was like, the last thing I need to do is filter my counselor through the Word of God. So for me personally, I chose a Christian counselor that I went to because I was like, I don't want to have to sit there when she's giving me advice and go, can I really apply that? Does that go to the Word of God? I think there's wisdom. So I'm not against secular counselor. I'm just saying for me, I picked a Christian counselor. You know what one of the most powerful moments in counseling was? I sat down there for the first time of therapy and she said, hey, before I begin to counsel you, can we just speak to God together? And the first thing she said, I'm going to get emotional. She said, Holy Spirit, I need you to speak before I speak. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can counsel your counselor as they're counseling you? No matter how many times they've gone to school, what classes they took, what their certificates are, and I'm not against that. I'm all for that. But do you know that the Holy Spirit knows us more than the counselor knows us? And what they may have missed in training, He did not miss. He can counsel your counselors. He can counsel your pastors. He can counsel you. He is the ultimate counselor. It says in John 14, 26 to 28, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the disciples. He's getting ready to leave. They are in trouble. They are struggling in their minds. They're like, they're worried and stressed out. He says, but the counselor, I know your anxiety is great. I know you don't know how it's going to work out. I know you're disappointed in the end because you thought it was going to play out differently. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Thank God. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I think it's important to note that He separated those two things. Let not your hearts be troubled and don't fear. That's another message for another day. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. And the third thing is he is our monitor. The Holy Spirit ensures optimal health. Now, I know most of us in the room are familiar with the idea of a heart monitor, right? Some folks wear heart monitors. It would detect any type of hazard or defect. It monitors your heart, right, to get a good read and see how healthy someone is. And the Holy Spirit surely is that. He monitors your heart. He looks out for things that are dangerous to us. He gives us a good read of where we're at spiritually. But he is also, go with me, think of a baby monitor. So many of you have had children, and maybe you had a baby monitor in the room. So while you weren't in the room with the child, although he's always with us, you could still watch the child. You could make sure that there were no distractions taking them away from the rest. Because you as a parent know that your child needs to sleep even when they feel like they don't need to. Even when they're more interested in their toys, you go, you know what, that's for another time, but for now we need to rest. And you would ensure that the atmosphere all around them is safe. You would ensure that they are able to rest because you know that's important to them. You would ensure that nobody else is coming in there. He is also, as in a baby monitor, it's not just him looking for defects, it's him saving you from them. Because he's a good, good father. And we often throw tantrums. But I want that, and I don't think I'm tired. And I'm not just talking about physically, although we are a busy, 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 busy society. Busyness and anxiety. Think they're correlated? He knows when we need to rest. He knows what the atmosphere of your world needs to be. And he watches over us. John 16:14 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. That applies to every area of our life. The fourth thing that the Holy Spirit is he's the advocate. I know we often use this to talk about he advocates on our part, he speaks up on our behalf, but I want to come at a different perspective. Although he is those things, I believe that the advocate that he also is, the Holy Spirit works alongside of us. He walks with us. He works alongside of us. It says in John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you. This is a similar verse that I read earlier, but it's a different spin, and remind you of everything that I have said. I don't know about you, but I forget real quick. So I need the advocate to remind me, but newsflash, it's really important for us to hear what he said the first time or read it for him to remind us of it. You can't bring back to memory something that you have not read or heard. And I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit goes beyond our mental faculties. I believe that he can speak something to us that we have not read, okay? So don't get caught up in your doctrine there. But this verse is specifically saying, I will remind you of those things I've said. So he advocates with us. He goes with us. He reminds us, and he fights. He speaks truth on our behalf. Man, life with the Holy Spirit is powerful. Did you hear me? It's powerful. Jesus Christ has left the Holy Spirit to dwell within the hearts of the believers. John 14:8-17, it says, Philip said to Jesus, I'm going to read for just a second. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will satisfy us. Jesus replied, I have been with you all for a really long time. Don't you know me yet, Philip? He's like, I'm right here. The person who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? What I'm telling you doesn't come from me. The Father who lives in me does what he wants. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and that the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the things I do. I can guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. I will do anything you ask the Father in my name so that the Father will be given glory because of the Son. If you ask me to do something, I will do it. Side note, he's not a genie in a bottle. He doesn't always do it the way that we think he's going to. So let me save you some frustration. Just trust God. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I think it's interesting that we like to camp out on verse 14 and abandon verse 15. If you ask me to do something, I will do it. We pray, and then when he doesn't do it how we think, we throw a temper tantrum, and then we boycott what he's asked us to do. But he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it doesn't see or know him. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. If I can have the worship team come on up. Acts 2:38, are y'all okay this morning? All right, we're going to land the plane. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we repent, when we turn away from our sins, when we do a 180, that's really what that word repentance means. It means to confess our sins to God and then turn away and move as far away from that sin and that lifestyle as we can. We will not be perfect. We will get it wrong, but that's why we need the helper. But it also says to be baptized, and we're a church that believes in the power of the confession of faith publicly in the waters, being dunked in the water, right? The baptism by water. But he's also talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you were to be immersed in water, right? If we were to take you and you wanted to be baptized and confess your faith publicly, you would be submerged in the water, right? You would come, every part of you would be wet, right? Every part of you, you would go under the water. This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's not just the gifts. It's not just the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's talking about on the inside that you are submerged. On the inside, every piece of you, every part of you has the power of the Holy Spirit. And we live as if we don't understand this power sometimes. And we wonder why we're struggling more than we should be. And we wonder why we're going around the same issues over and over and over. And we wonder why we're defeated, because we haven't turned on the power. Luke 3:16 says, John the Baptist answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, Jesus, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, we got to get this today. Can everyone just stand up? We got to get this today. And what I'm going to ask, if the media can go on and put the Salvation's Prayer up there as the worship team begins to play, what I want us to do, because I think all of us in the room, if this is your first time praying this prayer and placing your faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, the power over sin, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the monitor, and so many other things. Maybe today it's the first time in a long time that you've reminded yourself of who he is. Maybe it's the first time that you've ever heard that somebody died for your sins and made a way for you to be with God, to know a loving Father, to have the Holy Spirit, to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Or maybe today we just need to remind ourselves of his goodness. I think we can never go wrong with saying this prayer. It's not a magic prayer. You won't even find this written in the Word exactly like this. But it encapsulates our faith. So can we just together today remind our souls, remind our spirit, remind our hearts who he is and what he's done? Can we just pray this together? Just repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Ooh, y'all sound good today. I know that I am a sinner. And I repent for my sins. You got to see it right here. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Today I have been made new. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or perhaps you found yourself where you had walked away from the faith and you wanted to get it right with God, we want to pray with you. But what I want to do before we do that, this is going to sound a little weird, but go with me. We're going to play pretend together. Is that okay? Are we all too old? No. I said, don't offend me. We're going to pretend that I'm having a party at my house and you're all invited. Say it's Super Bowl time and your favorite team is playing. I won't even have you say who's playing. Your favorite team is playing. I'm having a party. You're all invited. I invite you to my house. We're going to build this house together. Somebody shout out. This is where I need a feedback, I need to hear from you. Tell me what type, money is no limit. I just changed the game. What type of house? What are we doing in the house? What type of house are we building? What features would this house have? Somebody shout out. A fireplace, a what? A big, how big? Like that big? That big. All right, we got four of them in my house. Say what? Recliner seats, okay. Nice window. Okay, we got a pool that flows from the inside to the outside. All right, come on, think, dream big. Somebody else, you're like, lots of food, right? With ovens and conventional ovens and a kitchen that could cook anything. All right, somebody up here, tell me what we're putting in this house. Oh, girl, a movie theater. What else we got? A brick exterior, okay, and your kids are all there, so we got roller coasters outside, right? You ain't even got to watch. We got free childcare. All right, somebody else, give me one more thing. I know this is crazy, but give me one more thing. A huge sound system that outdoes any sound system you've ever heard. So it's game day, and I've invited you all over to my house. You are so excited. You brought your neighbors. You brought your favorite jersey. You brought your favorite food. Even if you don't like football, you brought because you came out. You came out because you were bringing the party. How mad would you be if you got there and the power was turned off? Sorry, forgot to turn the power on. Forgot to get it connected. Me and my house would look good, and we might have a little bit of fun, but it sure would be fun if we had the power on. I got a pretty house, and it sells well on a flyer, but if I ain't got the power on, if we ain't got the power on, we are left to come up with the fun on our own. This is what it's like when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We got to get the power on. It may sound good. You may look good. You may have your church hat on this morning. Don't look at anybody with a church hat on. But if you ain't got the power on, you are going to be highly disappointed. You are going to be highly frustrated when sin and temptation and discouragement and sorrow and anxiety and depression and health issues and bad reports and divorce and wayward children and discouragement comes knocking at your door. But can I tell you, if you got the power on? Now don't hear me saying that life is perfect, because even in that perfect house, we got imperfect people. But it sure is a lot more enjoyable. It sure is a lot more exciting. It sure is a lot more attractive. It sure is a lot more powerful when the power's on. And so this morning, whether you prayed that prayer for the first time a few seconds ago, or you just needed to remind yourself, you know what? The Holy Spirit dwells within me. I am the vessel. Can we turn the power on this morning? This is the power over sin. This is the ability to hear God's voice. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is our comforter. He fills us. He empowers us. He equips us with spiritual gifts. And yes, there is the evidence of speaking in tongues, that language between you and the Lord, and so many other things. So this morning, as the worship team, I know I called y'all up here. I just love being with you. Thank you for just adding to the anointing. As the worship team comes, I want to do things a little different. What I want you to do, if you say, God, I need my mind to be aware. I need my heart to be aware. The Holy Spirit already dwells within you. So when you ask Jesus into your life, that was an automatic gift that came with him. What I'm asking you to do today is to recognize the gift that's in your heart. Let's turn on the power. And so today, if you say, you know what, I need a little bit more power. I'm not saying that you're a sinner. I'm not saying that you're broken. You may well be both of those things. I find myself there a lot. What I'm saying is, if you go, you know what? I just need to turn the power on and let's see things more clearly in the light for the first time. Or maybe for the first time in a long time. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to worship like you've never worshiped before. I'm going to ask you to come up and stand at the altar as a declaration of your faith, just saying, God, I need more. If there's more, I want it. Our prayer team will be there to pray for you. I don't know. I can't even tell you what's about to happen because I'm not the one who is the source of the electricity. But I believe in these moments when we say, God, I've had enough, or I haven't tapped into enough, he shows up. So Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for what it applies to our life. I thank you for the promises of your holy word and the finished work of the cross, that you defeated sin in the grave. Lord, and that gave us an option to know you, to walk with you, to have the Holy Spirit dwell within us. And so today, New City Church, every person in the sound of my voice, God, I pray for the courage to say, God, I want more. Even if their life looks beautiful, even if they've been walking with you and joy and rejoicing with you, God, I thank you for more today. That we make it an awareness, God, that if we have to raise our hands for the first time, if we have to step out of our seat for the first time, if we have to open our mouth and sing your praise in the middle of a really dark place, God, I thank you that today we turn on the power in your mighty and precious and holy name we pray. Who wants to turn on the power this morning? Come on, let's pray. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.